We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The band Great White has been around for over 40 years. They have sold over 10 million albums worldwide and were nominated for a Grammy for Once Bitten, Twice Shy. The band has also had a tumultuous history over the years with multiple lineup changes and at one time dueling lineups that were both touring at the same time using variations of the Great White name. You're also probably familiar with a tragic event in the band's history that I have been asked not to address out of respect for those that were involved. And we will honor that request as we welcome Mark Kendall, founding guitarist for Great White. They'll be at the Venue in Denver this Saturday night, July 30th. You can go to thevenuedenver.com for ticket information on that. Mark, welcome.
Yeah, you got it, brother.
If there's anything consistent about the band Great White over the years, I would have to say it's you. This was your band, after all, in the very beginning. And here you are, what, 45 years later, still out on the road with them.
Not quite that long, but we've had a really good run, with really loyal fans. That's all I can say. And I just try to keep trying to get better. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to outdo the last thing, so that keeps my energy up.
Always competing with yourself and trying to top yourself, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, you always have that pipe dream. You're going to write the best song of your life, and that's what kind of keeps me, keeps my energy in the right spot, I guess. Keeps me motivated.
Chasing after that perfect song. Do you feel like you've come close?
I'm trying now, but I think when the very first time, and it's not because the song became a big song, it's just the very first time when everything kind of came together. And I felt like I was becoming a better songwriter was when we listened back to Rock Me when it was done. When I was recording it, I had no idea because you kind of have that tunnel vision of your parts and, you never hear the whole thing back until the end. So, that was a good milestone, if you will. But I don't know. I'm constantly trying to, learn from the past, and the challenge is trying to do something I haven't done before but make it tasty. It's not that easy, but a lot of times the best stuff comes the quickest. So I've always made the analogy with a painter. If a guy was out selling the same painting every year, he'd probably go crazy. Well, I would go crazy if I just was out selling the same song every year. You know what I mean? That's the way I keep myself motivated, is to continue to be creative. And I got a guy coming over today with some recording gear, and I have a couple ideas, and I'm excited. Like, my blood's pumping right now. I can't wait to put this stuff down and hear it back and stuff,
An interesting analogy, but I would say with painters, when you think of a painter like a guy like Picasso, he went through different periods where he had different styles, and people accepted that. But I think with musicians and with bands, once you're in a lane, sometimes the fans aren't too forgiving if you step too far outside of that lane. Like, if you tried to do a fusion jazz album, I'm not sure that it would go over that well. Is that something that you were ever interested in, kind of expanding outside of your boundaries, or are you happy being in that lane?
That's a great point. I'm just always trying to be honest with myself, I'm not ever trying to reinvent myself, but at the same time, I'm trying to kind of stretch beyond what I would normally do. I'm trying to make it interesting, but still, it's coming from everybody that made me want to play. You know, I still keep it. I feel the notes. The changes. I try to make it not too predictable, but still, tasteful. And it was interesting because I was watching a documentary, and I can't remember who it was. It was like something to do with the Eagles, I believe. And it was Glenn Frey talking about Jackson Brown living above him, and he would go over the same part over and over again. I've always done that. I couldn't believe a pro on that level does it the way I do, because when I get a verse, I play that thing until, I'm blue in the face, until it comes back to me, and that's just absolutely spot on. Like, I love that verse. Then I'll go to another part, and then the chorus and work on that forever. That way, So I kind of write the way Jackson Brown does. I'm just not on his level. I'd like to be,
Well, now Great White has sold 10 million albums. You've got Grammy nominations. You're all over MTV. Talking about, though, when you said about respecting those who you followed early on, was there any one person or group of people that inspired you to first pick up the guitar and learn it?
Actually, believe it or not, the very first people that made me want to play was a band that was across the street that I used to watch through this little window at the side of their garage. And I just saw the bass player play with his teeth one day, but I'd already been listening to music before that, but I didn't play guitar. But when I saw that bass player play with his teeth, I came running to my dad begging for a guitar. I just had to have one. And I really didn't put it down the first year. I, learned four songs. I know the songs today. It's Pipeline, Wipeout, Gloria, and Secret Agent Man. And I went and played those four songs from my fourth grade class with another guitar player. So that was the first year. I kind of learned my way around the neck a little bit from neighbors that were more advanced. And I took one lesson off a surf band guy. And that's what inspired me first. But then as time rolled around, when I discovered Carlos Santana when I was 14, I wanted to be the guy. When I listened to music back when I was a boy, I had, Jimi Hendrix, I had Cream and The Doors. I wasn't listening to the guitar when I heard the records. I just sang along with the singing. I was just like fascinated by melody of singers. And when I heard Carlos Santana play, I go, oh my God, he's the way he plays. It's like the way people sing. It's like very memorable and very soulful and beautiful melody. And I just thought that was great that you could do that with a guitar. Like, if a singer can sing all this bitchin' melodies, why can't you play them on your guitar, That's the thinking, right? So I just liked the way he played. So that was my first inspiration when I started to get my way around the neck a little bit.
No, it's interesting because you're backing up to the song Wipeout. That's what inspired me to try to become a drummer. That's a song for drumming. When you were a kid, was that in California?
Yes. I was born in Los Angeles. I was born in Loma Linda, California, which is just 60 miles from L.A. But we lived in right in Los Angeles for our first couple of years, and then just moved around the subdivisions of L.A. around. But yeah, I just kind of grew up in California. And discovered music really through my parents first, because my dad played jazz trumpet, and my mom used to sing at his shows in the intermissions. She would sing with the piano player for like 20 minutes, and then my dad would, do another set. But so they had a lot of records, and I remember the first song I ever heard where I just kind of loved it, and because the melody was so pretty. It was The Girl from Ipanema. You know, that it made me feel a certain way. It was like a joyful feeling. So it made me kind of gravitate toward music, like, right out of the gate when I was, like, probably 5 or 6 years old. So, I just loved, for some reason, that melody was just any beautiful song. I wouldn't care if it was Frank Sinatra or whoever, you know. It was just, I just loved, something that sounded good.
Well, growing up around Los Angeles, it wasn't too far for you to go then to the Sunset Strip, and I know Great White's first official show pretty much was at the Troubadour in Hollywood. And back in those days, that scene and the rise of MTV at the same time, a lot of you guys who normally would have probably started out becoming a regional success and then a statewide and then national, you guys were just launched into the stratosphere almost immediately. Yeah. Did you find that to be a little overwhelming, or was it an amazing ride, or what?
In 1982, when there was somebody in the audience that could help us, it was an A&R man. He came to us backstage and handed us his card and told us to come down there. Before we knew it, we were in the studio recording a 5-song EP, but we didn't have a proper record deal. We only had a distribution deal. Well, one of the songs off that EP started playing on the biggest station in Los Angeles in rotation, and it was totally unheard of. I'd never heard of it before. An unsigned band playing in rotation with the likes of Tom Petty. We were just floored by that, because our manager, he brought a cassette player to our practice, and he said, "I want you guys to listen to this at noon today." And we thought it was going to be an ad for a show, because we had a show coming up. And all of a sudden, "On Your Knees" comes on the radio. But we didn't know it was going to be played 6 times a day. We thought it was just a one-time-only thing, like he had some connection. But that is what really gave us an opportunity with the bigger labels, and create some kind of an interest. And, it's just been a whirlwind. And believe it or not, back then, we were this very small fish in the L.A. scene. We were not a big deal. The biggest deal was Van Halen, of course. But there was other bands, Stormer and Eulogy and Smile and all these bands. Every time there was an ad for those bands, their print was way bigger than ours. ours looked like, fly legs. It was so tiny. You know what I mean? It was like stupid. It's like we were such a non-factor. But one thing that we did that some of the other bands didn't do is we played more than they did. No matter where it was, we didn't care if it was your backyard, your mama's house, anywhere where there was some kind of a stage and people in front of it, we were there. And we played free a lot, but we put ourselves, I think, in a position to get lucky, because you need a lot of luck and you have to be good. If there's going to be somebody in the crowd that can help you, that has connections or whatever, yeah, that's great that you got that opportunity, but you better be good, because, or else that guy is going to walk out and say, "God, those guys need help."
Well, that story brings up two familiar sayings. One is, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So, I don't really believe in luck. I believe in hard work. And then the other is that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to perfect something. And that's the theory behind, the Beatles going to Hamburg, Germany, and playing 11 hours straight through. They just played and played and played and played until they perfected what they did. And so you guys, although you might not have even known what you were doing, you were laying the groundwork for that.
That is very profound, what you just said, and I agree 100%. It seems like the ones that are the luckiest always work the hardest, and that's absolutely 100% true. When the singer and I used to talk, we'd go, because our thinking was, we're going to brainwash people into thinking they're supposed to like us, you know what I mean? We want to be like a Tide commercial. We want to, people see us so much they just can't get us out of their head. And that was the mindset. But Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I know a little bit about the Beatles playing those shows in Germany because my wife worked with the daughter of Eric Burdon.
Oh, wow.
So I actually had him over for dinner one night, and he spoke a lot about, you know, the Beatles upcoming, the Stones, and the Animals, and how they were all 1-4-5 bands. They all played Johnny B. Goode, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They all sounded exactly the same, and then they just kind of became songwriters and obviously, you know, legendary and all very different from each other. But because they were all playing, you know, Chuck Berry and doing Little Richard and all that, but playing like multiple shows a day.
Yeah.
So it was pretty amazing. A friend of mine did a documentary on a guy called Mickey Thomas who played with Trini Lopez, and they would go over, they'd talk to the Queen, they'd headline, but the government made it to where the Beatles would open, you know, open for them and stuff like that. So it was funny, the documentary goes, all of a sudden I saw the Beatles coming into the United States, and they're making this huge scene about him, and he's going, oh my God, you know, that was just my little support act. That was amazing, you know.
Right.
But wow, what a story that is.
Talking to Mark Kendall, founding guitarist for Great White. They'll be at the Venue this Saturday, July 30th. You can go to thevenuedenver.com for info. That's on Cortez off of 36 in Pecos. You can also go to officialgreatwhite.com, their website. You mentioned the singer. You guys have a new singer these days, too. Tell me a little bit about him.
Absolutely wonderful singer. You know, and he has so much power and so much range that we can play anything in our catalog, and he's going to sing it perfect. We've even brought back, you know, song off our very first album, Stick It, which was our very first kind of single that we ever had, apart from the EP, which was On Your Knees. But so we brought that back in. You know, the people that were with us from the beginning, they're going to get a look from that era, you know. And we've kind of grabbed a couple other songs that we haven't played in years, and just having a blast. The guy sings like so good. He was in that rock vault where they, you know, in Vegas where they did the 80s revival.
Mm-hmm.
They do a show at casinos and have all, they had Howard Leach from Heart, and they have guests like Slash and just different guitar players and several like singers. He would do Journey and all this stuff. And then he was playing with a group called Last in Line, which were original guys that played in Dio, and they've actually made original music. So we just had him fill in one time, and he blew our mind. So we go, man, I wonder what his availability is. And we've done about 8 shows with him, and we love him. He's just a good team player, you know, the brotherhood, the whole deal, you know, his personality is wonderful. And he just brings it on stage. He sings his heart out, and he's very natural, engaging the crowd, too. So it's a high-energy show, and we're having a blast. And his name's Andrew Freeman. The fans love him, and, you know, he's already kind of known. So it's the shows are going great, and we're looking forward to getting to Denver.
So he's fairly new with you, so it might be a little presumptive of me to assume that you might be making new music with him at some point, but we started off talking about writing songs. And chance of getting in the studio with him?
Absolutely. In fact, today, well, I've just recorded a couple songs with a friend of mine who actually used to be in Dio. He was in Dio for 6 or 7 years, named Tracy G., and he was in, also made a band called World War III years ago. But he has a studio at his house. I recorded 2 songs there for Andrew. And today, a guy's bringing some gear over, and we're going to record 3 songs. So, yeah, I can't wait. You know, I'm writing like crazy. Well, I've been writing the past 2 years, but I'm coming up with new things now. And it's kind of, you know, overshadowing some of my older ideas, so I like to keep it fresh.
Well, we'll let you get on that then. You got a busy day ahead of you, and we'll see you here this Saturday night. Mark Kendall, founding guitarist for Great White. They will be at The Venue Saturday night, July 30th, thevenuedenver.com for tickets. And again, officialgreatwhite.com is their official website. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's great talking to you as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.